Hey Thrivers, Jess here. Welcome to the December 2016 workshop. The end of the year is upon us, and for most of us, this is the busiest time of the year with our businesses as well, with all of the extra Christmas orders coming in. So I thought it would be a really good time to do a workshop on how to relax and chill out and basically learn some strategies to get ourselves out of that state of high stress, even if it's just for 5 or 10 minutes every day, because that can really make a difference in the long run to your health, your mental health, your physical health, and your sanity. So in this workshop, I'm going to take you through explaining exactly what happens in your body when you get stressed, why you feel sick and tired if you get stressed for a long period of time, and the real deep importance of moving from that stress state into a relaxation state, and how you can get there. I'm going to share a whole bunch of strategies that you can try out to get yourself out of what I call the red zone, the stress response, into the green zone or the relaxation response. And I've got a bonus for you as well, an extra downloadable recording that you can use. It's a guided meditation called Yoga Nidra. It's a specific type of kind of relaxation meditation, and that's for you for free. Merry Christmas. And you can download that and use that at any time to help yourself get into a state of deep relaxation. I use not this particular recording because listening to myself is a bit weird, but I use Yoga Nidra recordings quite regularly to relax, and I share a whole bunch of strategies that I use personally that you might like to try as well. So I hope you can find the time to do this workshop or listen to it, at least if you're not watching it, and take some strategies away to make this December the most relaxed, busy time of year that it can possibly be. So let's get started. Strategies to reduce stress and relax is what this workshop is all about. Because I don't know about you, but this time of year, things tend to get a little bit stressful with the amount of work we have to do and all the other obligations, family, holidays, whatnot. So my first question is, how often do you feel stressed? Would you say you feel stressed on a daily basis, multiple times a day, a few times a week? It's going to be different for everybody, but I'm taking a guess that for most of you, it's probably a few times a week, if not daily, if not a lot of the time during the day, especially if you've got to juggle a lot of different responsibilities and maybe you have kids or other family you're taking care of, a job outside of the business you're running, the business, and everything else. So chronic stress is what we're talking about. So basically, modern life equals consistent stresses or constant or chronic stresses instead of occasional stresses. So why does this matter? You know, I want to basically talk to you a little bit first about why it matters that you actually need to consciously learn how to relax your body and your mind. So that's what we're going to be focusing on first, and then we're going to move into the strategies that I suggest you can use to do this very thing. So back in the day, when we all lived a hunter-gatherer lifestyle, or even a few hundred years ago, you know, we had low levels of stress, and when we did have stress, it was acute. So, you know, saber-toothed tiger is the classic example, or some other acute, you know, danger. So what happens? Your body reacts. Fight, flight, freeze, or flee reaction. And you know what that feels like when that sudden stress hits, and you would either run away or you would fight. You would use up the adrenaline that your body had produced. The threat would pass, hopefully, and then you'd go back to a normal state in the relaxation response, which is a normal state of being. Well, it should be everybody's normal state of being. The problem is, of course, for most of us, our lives look a bit like this second picture, you know, inbox full, drinking coffee, eating sugar to try to stay awake, against their deadline, too many things to do, not enough time to do them, too many responsibilities, not enough time to handle them. If that sounds familiar, this is the workshop for you. All right, so let's just go through a couple of those common stresses. So there's work, both employment and your business, family, your children, your partners, other family, home management, holidays. Stress doesn't always have to be a negative thing. Positive things can cause stress. Holidays, you know, being on the move constantly when you're traveling, your commute, a tech addiction or overload, if you're spending too much time on the phone or the tablet or the computer or the TV or whatever it is, unhealthy food, excessive alcohol or other drugs, worry. You'll notice this is all in capitals because this is actually, for most people, the number one stressor in their life is actually worrying about what something that's happened in the past or something that might happen in the future. That kind of negative daydreaming is basically what worry is. And these things are constant, but our body, our hindbrain, our primitive brain does not understand the difference between, you know, an angry email from a customer and a saber-toothed tiger. It reacts in the same way. You get the stress response flooding your body, and your body reacts to these stresses as if they're life-threatening, okay? And this has an awful effect on the body and the mind in the long term. You know, if we just had short-term stresses that we actually dealt with, like, you know, thinking back to the example I used, you have to fight or flee or, you know, somehow move your body, use your mind to address the threat in front of you, and then you use up the hormone, you know, the adrenaline, and your body sits back down. When you're in a stress, you get that stress response and you're stuck in your car or on the train or in front of the computer, you don't actually use it up. You know, you don't actually move your body and use up that stress hormone, or cortisol and adrenaline, and they just sit there, and it's really, really bad for your body. So why does this matter? Let's talk about what's actually happening in your body when you're stressed and when you're relaxed. So this table here gives a brief overview of the difference between the two states. So let's just look at the stress response to start with. You can see when you're stressed, your heart rate increases, your blood pressure rises, your cholesterol levels go up, your immune system is less effective, your anxiety increases, depression is more prevalent, sleep disorders increase, your libido decreases because you don't need to be making babies when a saber-toothed tiger is going to eat you. Same with your immune system. You don't need to be fighting off a virus if a saber-toothed tiger is going to eat you. You get more irritable, more jagged, you know. Your digestion decreases. Don't need to be digesting food if a saber-toothed tiger is going to be eating you. So it's the same thing here. So basically what happens in the body, the blood goes to the extremities so you can run or fight. So all of the blood flows away from your brain and you, like your center body, and goes out to your muscles, tightens the muscles, opens the capillaries, your eyes dilate generally, they get stressed because they're ready, hyper-focused, ready to look at what they need to, and, you know, you get that kind of darting eye syndrome thing happening. You know, all of these things happen in your body. And think about what that's doing to your body long term. Like if this is happening multiple times a day, every day, you're constantly interrupting the proper functioning of your body. Or I should say, the stress response and the stress in your life is constantly interrupting the proper functioning of your body. And if, again, if you're not getting enough sleep because you're anxious and you're stressed and you're in this state, you know, as I said, the adrenaline and cortisol levels in your body rise. There's this amazing system, I'll mention it later, called the lymphatic system, which helps to clean your brain of debris, and it only happens when you're asleep. So if you're not getting enough sleep, you're, you know, there's basically, think about a city with the garbage piling up. That's what's happening to your brain if you're not getting enough sleep. So let's contrast this to the relaxation response. What's happening in your body when you relax? Surprisingly or not, it's basically the opposite. Your heart rate slows down, your blood pressure lowers. Why is blood pressure important? Because increased blood pressure can lead to stroke, aneurysm, and heart disease. Bad stuff. lactate levels reduce, immune system function improves and normalizes, your sense of well-being increases because you're calm and relaxed, your sleep is better because you're calm and relaxed, you have a normal libido, your brainwave patterns are slower, and your digestion improves. So all of this stuff I've just outlined here, okay, what happens? You have a lack of sleep, lymphatic system doesn't work. You have an increased breathing speed, blood pressure and heart rate, increased risk of stroke, aneurysm and heart disease. Digestive problems, as the digestive system is constantly being deprived of blood flow and it not being activated properly, it doesn't work. And, you know, there's this huge prevalence of digestive issues in the Western world. You know, we have all of these intolerances and digestive issues, you know, IBS, nobody really can give you a reason or a definite diagnosis of what the problem is. Chances are, I think the problem is chronic stress. You know, I had a bout of pretty bad anxiety last year and my digestive system was completely screwed up. I had constant reflux, and you know, nausea and bloating and stuff. It was awful. And you know, when you're in that state, you just go like, oh my god, what's happening to me? Like, why is my body suddenly rebelling against me and not working properly? And it was all stress related. That's all it was. It was caused by stress and anxiety. So digestive issues, headaches, due to muscle tightness and increased blood pressure, muscle tightness, so you get tension, your immune system, sickness, autoimmune disorders due to an overactive or unbalanced or imbalanced immune system. Have you ever had holiday sickness? So you've been working really hard and then you take a break and suddenly you get sick. It's because your immune system has a chance to rebound. They're doing some research on this at the moment. I was reading some articles lately. They're not sure exactly what the mechanism is, but the theory is that because your immune system has been suppressed, it kind of rebounds and goes too far. And so you end up overreacting to stuff. And that's why you end up getting sick and it starts working again. So in short, you feel sick and tired and probably anxious. And that's not fun for anybody. So what's the solution? Well, there's lots, but it takes dedication and it takes you understanding and being willing to make time for yourself, putting your health first and accepting that it's really important and it's not just frivolous to take care of yourself and to find time to relax. It's actually life or death important to do this. So the way my teacher talks about it, and I'm going to use the same nomenclature, is the red zone and the green zone, because that's really easy and emotive to remember. So the red zone is the stress response is active. You're in the red zone. The green zone is when your relaxation response is active, and that's what we're aiming to do. Honestly, you should be actually spending the majority of your life in the green zone. That's what we're naturally, you know, evolved to do, is to be in that relaxation response most of the time with small bursts in the red zone. You know, like 95% of the time in the green zone and 5% in the red zone. I think a lot of people, it's close to the opposite, which is awful. So how? Let's get started. There are a lot of strategies. Honestly, you want to be focusing on long term. In the long term, we need to change our thought patterns, change our physical health, and change our lifestyle. I've done this myself over the last many years. I've been working on this in my life. You know, this time 10 years ago was probably the most stressful year of my life. It's when I did my first year of classroom teaching. I wasn't getting enough sleep. I was working insane hours. I had huge levels of stress on a daily basis because I was in a classroom with kids misbehaving, trying to behavior manage them, dealing with parents. Like, I'm an introvert, so having to interact with and manage a classroom of children every day was really stressful for me and really difficult. And then having to deal with colleagues and bosses and parents, and I was way away from home. I was nowhere near any friends or family. I was with my partner, but we were at the point where we kind of knew our relationship was going to end. So it was a really stressful year. And I remember we lived near the beach, and I remember I'd get down there as much as possible and just sit and look out the waves and go, well, this won't matter in 5 years' time. This won't matter in 5 years' time. Whatever this thing is I'm stressing about now, that was my mantra. Will this matter in 5 years' time? And that's what I tried to, say to myself, to remind myself that no matter how anxious I was about what was happening, it wasn't, in the long run, it really wasn't worth the stress. But I was very uneducated then about how to about this whole thing. I didn't understand this stuff. I didn't have any strategies really in place in my life to deal with it. And over the last, 10 years ever since then, I've completely radically changed my life. I've changed what I do for a job. I've changed where I live. I've, married to a really great guy who was not that person that I was with back then, who is also a really great guy, but not the great guy, not the guy for me. And I've now have a regular yoga meditation practice. I exercise more. I spend more time relaxing and value that time and don't see it as wasted time. In the long term, you really want to look at your lifestyle and think, what can I change? But that takes time. So that's, that should be our goal in the long term. However, short term is what I'm sharing with you today. I'm sharing short term strategies, the small regular habits that we'll build to help us change our mindset and therefore change our lives. Even if the external circumstances of our lives are the same, how we approach them might become radically different, and that could be, make all of the difference. So let's start with those. Number one is breathing. The absolute simplest thing. Controlling your breath, it's the fastest, easiest way to switch our bodies from the red zone to the green zone. This is the one autonomic process we can actively control in our body. So, we breathe without thinking about it. Our heart, our pumps, our digestive system works, our brain functions. All of this stuff is done for us by our bodies and our minds. We don't have any control over it. We don't have any conscious control over our digestive system or our heart rate, but we can control our breathing. And our breathing, there's a nerve called the vagus nerve, and all of those, most of our internal organs are connected along that vagus nerve. And what happens is by affecting your breath and your breathing rate, you can actually affect what happens to the rest of those organs. So that's why it's really powerful. So let's think back to stress response. What happens? The breathing starts shortening. It gets up in the chest breathing. We start panting or hyperventilating. So everything else in our body ramps up. Heart starts pounding. Blood pressure increases. Slowing down our breath is the best thing we can do to try to calm our body down and calm our systems down. So when you change your breath, you change everything else because it's all interlinked. And if you want to know more about this, go do some research about the vagus nerve. That's VAGUS, and how this all works together. So I've got three strategies for you. The first one is deep belly breathing, or a full yogic breath is an alternative. So if you put your hand, one hand on your belly and one hand on your chest, and just breathe normally for a minute and notice which hand is moving. Is the hand on your chest moving, or is the hand on your belly moving, or are they both moving? What we're looking for in a natural calm breath is that your belly is moving and your chest really isn't moving much at all, because the diaphragm pushes down and into your abdomen and expands from the bottom of your lungs. And that is full natural breathing. If you have shallow chest breathing, you're probably in an anxious state. So we want to be working to that. So what I do, a nice little visualization I give my yoga students is, imagine your lungs are like a crystal clear vase, and you're pouring beautiful clear water into that vase. So as you pour the water in, the bottom of the vase fills, then the middle, then the top. And if you pour the water out again, the top of the vase empties, then the middle, then the bottom. This is what we're looking for. So take a deep breath, So exhale, first of all, exhale all the air in your lungs. Now take a deep breath deep into the belly, expanding the lungs and finally lifting the chest. Now reverse, let the chest fall, ribs fall, and the belly falls. And try that again a few times and really take as deep a breath as you can, expanding, you know, your belly, your rib cage, sideways and backwards. And that might take a bit of practice if you're not used to it. And then lifting the chest, fully filling the lungs, and then relaxing. So that's a full yogi breath. The alternative is just a deep belly breath. And the easiest way to do this, if you can, is to lay down and put a hand, like I said before, one hand on your chest and one hand on your belly, and focus on moving the hand that's on your belly. And that's a nice deep belly breath. And that's a relaxing breath for the body. You can do it sitting up as well. It's just more obvious when you're lying down. So that's number one. That's the simplest thing, is just slowing down and breathing into the base of your lungs instead of your chest. The second strategy is 1-to-2 ratio breathing. So this is where you inhale for a count and then exhale for double that amount. So you might inhale for a count of 3 and then exhale for a count of 6. So what you're looking for is your exhale to be twice as long as your inhale. This works because it kind of mimics the breathing we do in sleep. So it really calms the body nicely because we're really spending time with that nice slow exhale. So try that as well a few times. So exhale all the air in your lungs. Inhale for 1, 2, 3. Exhale for 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now, if you're finding that that's too short or too long, you can modify it, whatever length. The key is not to strain. So if you're finding that you're pushing the air out at the end of the breath, you're exhaling for too long. And the key also is to start slow. So when you exhale, don't go, you know, like that initial push of breath, do it really slowly. So start nice, even, slow exhale all the way through. And try that one. It's a really nice one to do as well. A third strategy is what they call in yoga an ujjayi breath. And basically what this is you're tightening the muscles at the back of the throat to kind of slow your breath down and make it more conscious and more audible. So imagine you're holding a mirror in front of you and you're breathing out and fogging up the mirror. Try to hold that feeling in the throat and actually inhale and exhale. You can start by doing it through the mouth and you'll get a sound like this. Excuse the deep breathing. And then what you want to do is you want to move it to the actually breathing through the nose, but maintaining the same thing. And you'll hear something like this. It sounds a bit like waves on the shore. So that's the breath you're looking for. I use this breath a lot when I start my meditation to really sink quickly into relaxation. It's a good one to try. So there's 3 breathing strategies for you to try out. So the second set of strategies revolve around mindfulness and meditation. Mindfulness is basically just being aware of what is in the moment rather than getting caught up in our stories of what was and what may be in the future. Humans think in stories, you know, stories are what makes us, or what helps us make sense of the world around us. But what happens is that we create stories in our mind, we daydream a lot, and a lot of those stories are actually become worries or are negative stories about, you know, the consequences of this thing that happened or this thing that might be happening in the future, and we get stressed and worried about it. So instead of actually living in the present moment and being mindful of what's happening right now, we're constantly drifting off into these stories, which another word for is worry and anxiety. So, you know, often our thoughts are actually our worst enemy, and we actually can stress ourselves out by excessive rumination. So we're actually self-triggering the stress response in our bodies through our worry. So being mindful, you know, and meditation helps us be mindful. And meditation is non-religious, it's non-denominational, it's just basically a very simple practice. I mean, there's thousands of different ways you can meditate, but when I'm talking about it, when I say mindfulness meditation, I'm literally just talking about stopping and trying to be mindful of the present moment and letting thoughts arise. You can't, like, don't ever think you can stop thoughts happening. That's not what you're aiming for. What you're aiming for is seeing the space between a thought and your consciousness. There's a link here if you are not aware of, you know, you don't have any background or any knowledge about mindfulness or meditation, you think it's woo or weird or whatever, have a watch of this video. It's a 2-minute video, very simply explains what mindfulness meditation is and why it's helpful. It's basically exercise for your brain. That's what it is. It's and it's exercise at making a gap between stimulus and response, you know, between, I think there's a great Viktor Frankl quote who was, you know, he was interned in the concentration camps in the Second World War and realized that some people were managed to be happy even in that circumstance. And he studied these people because he was a psychologist, scientist, a doctor, and realized that the difference between those people and everybody else was, you know, it had nothing to do with their external environment. It was all down to their way of looking at the world and the fact that they could separate, you know, they could just live in the moment and not constantly be worried about what was going to happen in the future. And they could make a choice. So between stimulus and response, there is a gap and there is a choice. And a lot of us are very poor at recognizing that gap. And we just react when something happens, even if it's something within our own minds, we just react to it. And what that does is that you create this spiral or this cascade more properly of thoughts. So you might have this one thought about one small thing, and suddenly that just triggers a whole cascade of other thoughts. And 10 minutes later, you're freaking out because you've created this whole drama in your head that doesn't actually exist in the outside world. I think everybody's probably familiar with that. So mindfulness meditation, you literally sit still and you focus on your breath moving in and out of your body. You can choose plenty of other things to focus on, but the breath is always with you and it's always there. And all you do is every time you realize that you've been distracted, either by your own thoughts or by something outside, you refocus your attention back on the breath. That's it. It's that simple. And it sounds like it would be easy if you've never done it before. It's not. And it also sounds like, what's the purpose? You're training yourself to let go of the things that are, you know, happening. You're training yourself not to get caught up. So we're trying to create mental space and slowly learn to let negative thoughts dissipate rather than latching onto them and escalating them. We're not trying to stop thoughts. What we're trying to do is not get caught up in them and not tick off this cascade of thoughts that come from that initial thought. So, you know, a nice visualization is imagine you're, you know, sitting on the top of a mountain and there's a beautiful blue sky all around you. And then as you sit there, you see a cloud form and you see it move and you see it dissipate. And that's what thoughts are like. But imagine you focused on that cloud. And through your mind, you know, through your focus on it, it actually grew and grew and got heavy and dark and turned into a thunderstorm. That's kind of what you're doing when you ruminate and stress and let that cascade happen. So mindfulness is about trying to make that space between the reality of what's happening, you know, and the cascade of thoughts, and trying to let those thoughts go, those negative thoughts, rather than increasing them. And if you can do this over time, you'll find that you'll be less stressed because you won't be constantly creating dramas in your mind You know, there's plenty of drama in the outside world without us having to create it in our minds. And, you know, it's a really powerful technique and tool to use. And the more you do it, the better you get at it, and the easier it gets sometimes. Some days it's really easy, some days it's really, really difficult, but it's always useful. So meditation. So yeah, sitting there, 5 minutes, start with 5 minutes. 10 minutes is awesome. Set a timer on your phone with a nice gentle sound at the end, and either close your eyes or let them be very gently open and just gazing into space. And just focus on your breath as it moves in and out of your nose, or as your belly rises and falls. And all you need to do is, whenever you catch yourself thinking or getting distracted by thoughts or external, and what happens is external noises will trigger thoughts. It's always thoughts you're getting distracted by. Well, just say, okay, and actually celebrate it. Like the moment that you notice that you've been distracted by thoughts is worth celebrating. That's actually the point. You know, that is what you're aiming for, is that realization. And the more you can do that, the more successful meditation will be. And then you bring yourself back to your breath. That's all you need to do. Okay, so the third set of strategies revolve around cardiovascular exercise, or yoga is another great thing here. So exercise is a brilliant way to improve our mental health. You might not think about it. When you think about exercise, you might be thinking about your physical health. And obviously, it's a brilliant thing to do for your physical health, but it's also incredibly powerful for your mental health. So if you suffer from anxiety or depression or ADHD or bipolar disorder, any mental illness that comes down to a chemical imbalance in the brain, which is pretty much all of them, exercise can help with that. I've got another link here to a book. It's called Spark, The Revolutionary New Science of Exercise and the Brain. I highly recommend you read this. It's brilliant, and it totally changed the way I look at exercise. And it goes through all of the science and all of the chemical cascades that happen in your brain, the positive chemical cascades, the things that are switched on in your brain when you exercise. So cardio exercise, it can be anything. It doesn't matter. Get on the elliptical, go for a walk, go for a run, go for a swim, a bike ride, whatever it is. It really doesn't matter. The aim is that you get your heart rate elevated for 20 minutes or more. That's it. And that will kick off a lot of these positive chemical cascades. So, you know, if you can do this daily, great, or a few times a week, great. Repetitive exercise, such as swimming or running, is also really, can be quite meditative because of the rhythm. You focus on the rhythm of the movement, and that's another form of mindfulness meditation. So that could also be a part of your exercise routine. And yoga, I put in here for this, it's a similar thing. The point of yoga is actually to be mindful of your body and the present moment. It's actually it's basically a moving meditation. So, you know, as you move through yoga postures or asanas, you are focusing on, you know, the way your body's moving, and that is just basically distracting you from your thoughts, and you're meaning to come back into the moment and back to how the body is feeling. So that's why yoga is a really good exercise, both for, you know, if you do more vigorous forms of yoga, it'd be a cardio workout, and it's also a great way to practice mindfulness. So these tools are really, really powerful. You know, simple as going for a nice brisk walk. That's, you know, can be good enough. That's fine. Whatever it is, helps to move the body, and it really helps to uplift your state, you know, your mental state. And it uses up, like, if you have been working all day or stressed out all day and you've got a build up of adrenaline and cortisol in your body, exercise helps to kind of use that up and get rid of it. And that's really, really powerful as well. So the fourth thing is healthier sleep and relaxation in general. So I've talked earlier about getting enough sleep and why that's so important, because of that basically cleaning system in your brain, that if you're not getting enough sleep, your brain isn't being cleaned out properly. And there's lots of other reasons as well. And that's called the glymphatic system. It's only new research that's come out in the last few years, so it's really, really awesome stuff. So suggestions for this, you know, why, how to get good sleep. I know that obviously all the other stuff I've talked about will help you sleep better because it will help you be more relaxed. It'll help your body be more relaxed and your muscle tension to be lower. But a few tips for getting better sleep are putting yourself to bed, just like a little kid. You know, have a bedtime, have a routine that you follow that gets your body and mind ready. It's a habit. Get yourself ready for bed. I actually have an alarm on my phone, which is a bedtime alarm, so that if I'm distracted and doing other things, it reminds me, oh, it's time to get ready for bed now. So have a routine, whatever works for you. Whatever, reading in bed, you might want to listen to a recording of something. I've got a few examples here. You might want to listen to a recorded meditation or the Yoga Nidra meditation I'm giving you, or ASMR videos. If you've never heard of ASMR videos before, just search on YouTube for ASMR, autonomic sensory meridian response. It's this thing that's been discovered over the last, well, it's only really been talked about over the last 5 or so years. If you've ever had a massage or had someone brush your hair or something and you get these tingles down the back of your head and down your body, that's ASMR, and it's really relaxing. And there's a whole world of people on YouTube who create videos to try to actually make that happen for you and give you that response. And even if you don't have the tingles, a lot of these videos are incredibly relaxing. They're people like whispering to you and stuff. I know, if you've never heard of this before, you're probably like, what the hell are you talking about? That sounds so weird. But trust me, it can be really, really good for relaxing. And you'll find the people and the triggers that work for you. But I've got an example, a link here that I recommend, Gentle Whispering. She's my favorite ASMR artist. She's probably actually one of the, if not the most popular ASMR artist on YouTube. She's got like 800,000 subscribers or something ridiculous. And she's got an enormous back catalog of videos that are very relaxing. So go check that out. Give it a go. What can it hurt? And that's something I do quite regularly at night to relax. I like listening to these. I don't really watch them. You can watch them sometimes. They're meant to be watched, but you can just listen to them as well. So other tips are stop looking at blue screens. The blue light in your like phone and tablet and stuff, it messes with your brain chemistry, and it basically makes your brain think it's still daytime. So you don't kick into sleep mode. So the best thing to do is either stop looking at them a couple of hours before bed. Well, honestly, ideally when the sun goes down, but I know that's not realistic. Or install an app, a twilight app. I think actually the newest Androids, possibly iPhones, I'm not sure, have this inbuilt, and you can actually turn it on so that at night what happens is that it reduces the blue light and increases the red light in your devices. And this helps your brain to calm down and actually get ready for sleep. So that's another good tip, is having some sort of app that reduces the blue light in your devices. Or just stop looking at them. You know, read a book or a Kindle that doesn't have backlighting or something like that. Or, you know, do some gentle yoga or some stretches before bed. You know, read a book to your kids. I mean, they might be going a bit away before you, I don't know, but the point here is to not agitate your brain too much the few hours before bed, because if you do, you'll find it difficult to wind down and go to sleep. If you play games or do work late at night, really try to stop that a few hours before bed if you can. It's ideal. I know it's not possible for everybody. And if it's not possible for you, then using one of these other things, you know, like listening to a recording or something that will help you to consciously calm your body, is a really great idea. So, and as I said at the beginning, I've created something for you for this very circumstance. It's a Yoga Nidra recording, and this is yogic sleep. It's basically a way of deeply relaxing the body. If you've ever done progressive muscle relaxation, it's not the same, but you'll kind of find it a little bit familiar. The core of the practice is being guided around the body and actually consciously relaxing each part of the body. So it's really, really useful. And I always find it really, really powerful way of consciously relaxing, especially if I'm ever really stressed out or anxious. This is my go-to to actually relax and try to get to sleep if I'm feeling anxious before bedtime. So Merry Christmas. I hope you find that useful. It's just for Thriver Circle members, so I've made it available as a download in the workshop. So feel free to download that and keep it and use it whenever and wherever. And I'd love your feedback. If you find it useful, please let me know. And again, I'd love your feedback on all of this. If you have any questions about anything in the workshop, please leave them in the comments below the workshop post, or come and tag me over on Facebook and ask me. And if you try out any of the techniques, or if you have any other techniques that you use to reduce stress and relax, please come and share them with us as well. I'd love to hear about them. So, best of luck. Have a wonderful December. And if you're watching this later, have a wonderful month or year, wherever you are. And these techniques can work for you, obviously, at any time to help you move out of the red zone and into the green zone. So I'll see you in the circle. Bye.